Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, living a worthy life. That is our subject this morning, living a worthy life. That is what Paul wants for the Colossian believers. He desired this for the whole body of Christ, that the people of God might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Last week we considered the infilling of the Christian with knowledge. That was the first thing he prayed, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. But this infilling with the knowledge of God's will is not an end in itself. The prayer doesn't end at verse 9, as if that was the end of the matter, as if all that a Christian needs is to be filled with knowledge. God doesn't just want knowledgeable Christians. That's not what the Christian life is all about. He wants saints who are walking worthy. He wants saints who are being fruitful in every good work. And the infilling with the knowledge is in order to that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and that you might walk worthy of the Lord. So knowledge is vital. It's important. It's the first thing. That is true. There can be no godliness without that. And the godliness, true godliness, flows out of that. Out of that foundation, out of that soil. So we know in order to do right. We know in order to live worthy lives. The verb walk, which occurs in our text, that ye might walk worthy. This word walk is often used, of course, of literal walking. We walk about every day, walking from place to place. We might say moving around, getting about. We all do that. We move about in life. We get around in life. And it means here, it includes a literal walk, but it also includes moving around in a certain way, in a certain lifestyle. Moving around, morally speaking. Going about in a good way. So the focus is not so much on the physical. It's not on the geographical, going from place to place. It's not on the journey. But the focus is on the life of a man. How does he move about? How does he get around? What kind of man is he that's moving about and walking around? We all move around. We live an active life. We don't just wake up in the morning and lie on in bed unmoving. No, we get up. We go on the journey of life. We do our duties. We live. You wash. You eat. You have your devotions, private and family. You go to work. You do this and that and the other. Very active. We all have very active lifestyles. You meet people. You go places. You come across others. You meet situations. You meet problems in life. You face trials. You sometimes face temptations. You respond. You react to these various situations. And then you go home. You relax at night time. You rest. Whatever. All this activity. All this moving around. All this walking about. And in all of this walking, you're not only moving physically, that's the thing, but also morally. You're living a certain kind of lifestyle. You have a certain attitude. And Paul wants the believers filled with the knowledge of the Lord's will, so that all this moving around is done in a worthy way, in a way that pleases God. That's what he wants. This is what every child of God should wish for, to live a worthy life, to live a God-glorifying and a Christ-exalting life. In fact, it's not only something every Christian should desire, to live a worthy life. It is, in fact, something every human being should desire, to live a worthy life, a worthwhile life, a God-honoring life. Every human being should desire that. But sadly, the unconverted don't know how. They don't know how to live a worthy life. They don't even know what a worthy life is, let alone want to live it. But certainly the Christian, Christians know. Christians are filled with the knowledge, and they know they should. And they are more and more wanting to be filled with the knowledge of his will, so that they will know how to walk worthy and how to live valuable lives. And that's what we have described for us here in verse 10. We have the good life, or the valuable life, described. Saints ought to live in a suitable manner. And that's the teaching in this text. And Paul is always teaching this. I mean, this isn't just a random prayer, you know, just come into his head and something he just thought up. No, this is something that is essential in his teaching. This is something he's always bringing out. This is something he's always praying for the church. And this is something that Christians themselves must be concerned about. You know, when you're converted, you must live a worthy life. Christians have to live godly in this world. They must. You know, there are certain people who said Paul's doctrine of justification led people to live any way they liked. You're not saved by works, Paul taught. And therefore, people said, and they concluded, well, if you're saved by grace, therefore, why worry about works? Sure, you're saved, doesn't matter. How you live doesn't matter, as long as you're saved. And there were people who were imputing that to Paul. That's the fruit of this doctrine of justification by works. And Paul believed no such thing, and he taught no such thing. The justified, Paul taught, must live a life that is worthy. They must. There's no choice. The saints are to walk worthy of the Lord. And Paul is always emphasizing this. It's his teaching, as well as his praying for believers, these things. He says, Christians are not a people who walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says to the Ephesians, let us walk honestly, as in the day. We're Christians. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We're in the daylight now. Let us therefore walk as Christians honestly in the daylight. Not in ratting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not as carnal, but let us walk as Christians. Do you remember how he says Christians are a people who have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty? Not walking in craftiness. Christians don't do that. That's not how they walk. Not walking in craftiness, walking worthy. He's always bringing this out. He's always saying this. He says the past life, you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the earth. But now your walk's different. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, he said to the Ephesians, I beseech you, I get on my knees, so to speak, I beg you, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He's praying this for the Colossians. Walk worthy. Well, what does it mean to walk a worthy life? What does it mean for a Christian to live a life of worthiness and a life of value. The answer's in our text. There are four things. I want to lay them before you first. We cover them as we have time. There are four things. First of all, it must be of the Lord, that ye walk worthy of the Lord. And then secondly, it must be unto all pleasing. Unto all pleasing, he says. And then thirdly, it must include an abundance of good works every day, being fruitful in every good work. And it must also include the devotional life, the getting to know the Lord more in your personal life, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Those are the four things. If a Christian's imbibing these four areas, these four things, he's living a valuable life. He's living a God-honoring life. He's living a worthy life. And so these four things together, all of them together, will mean a worthwhile, worthy, God-glorifying life. Enjoying God and enjoying life. First of all, then, it must be of the Lord. For man to walk worthy, it must be of the Lord. The Lord's name is brought in. It must be brought in. It cannot be left out, because a man cannot walk worthy unto all pleasing unless it's of the Lord. If Paul had just said that you may walk worthy, you could say that in a synagogue. The rabbi can say that. A political party leader can say that. The socialist can say that. Walk worthy. Everybody, whatever their connections, whatever their club, whatever their organization, they can say that to their members. Walk worthy. But everybody's idea of what is worthy is different. And everybody has a different idea of what a worthwhile life is. But the Christian says, for a life to be worthy, for a life to be edifying, for a life not to be in vain, it must be of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. Let me stress here that by Lord, Paul means Jesus Christ. He means the Savior. He means the Son of God. He means the Lord Jesus. He's thinking especially of the second person in the Trinity. You can't say that in a synagogue. You'll not be hearing this in the Socialist Party conference. Walk worthy of the Lord Jesus. But in the Christian church, that's the only thing you can say. You have to walk worthy of the Lord. The Lord Jesus. That's who he's talking about. He's already referred to Jesus Christ as Lord twice. Verse 2, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, our Lord Jesus Christ. And here he says, walk worthy of the Lord. And he's meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean then, walk worthy of the Lord Jesus? Well, it means, first of all, that you must be a Christian. That you must have faith in and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have accepted the Lord. You must be a follower of the Lord. You must love the Lord Jesus. How can one walk worthy of the Lord who's rejecting him? Who is resisting him? Who has no interest whatsoever in the dear Lord Jesus Christ? Life is vain without the Savior. Nobody has a worthy life without Christ. If you want a worthy life, this is where you have to begin, with faith in the Lord Jesus, with love for the Savior. That's where it all begins. That's the starting point. No walking worthy without conversion unto the Savior. In verse 6 of Colossians chapter 2, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's walking on to the Lord. It begins with having received Him as the Lord, and then walking on to Him and pleasing Him. And so that verse shows that Jesus Christ is the Lord that Paul is talking about, and that there can be no walking without first receiving. And one receives in order to continue walking in Him. So let's be clear about this. The walk of any man is a vain walk unless there is union to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless that man has Christ, it's empty, it's vain. There's nothing worthwhile about it. There's nothing worthy about it until a man begins to have Christ. And so the first question any man must be asked who wants to live a valuable life, the first question any man has to ask is, do I know the Lord Jesus? Do I trust the Lord Jesus? Do I love Him? Do I follow Him? Every man without Christ, the Bible says, walks in a vain show. It's vain. Without Christ, it's all vain. And so you have to know the Lord and to love Him. And sinners need to see that if they reject Jesus Christ, every step they take is a step of dishonor to Him. If one is not with Christ, one is against Christ. There's no halfway house here, men and women. No man can serve two masters. If you want to live a life of value, young person, or boy and girl, you're going to have to begin to get to know Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. And that's what the apostle means by unto the Lord. And so while you stand aloof from the Savior, you cannot be bringing glory to God. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You need the Lord. That's what you need. You need to come to Him and to receive Him. So that's the first thing. That life must be a Christian life. But then also, unto the Lord means that it must be a life lived in glad submission to Him. That's why he says the Lord. He doesn't say walk worthy of Jesus. That's true. He's referring to Jesus. But he wants to bring in the Lordship. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk worthy of the Lord. And that's why he brings in the name here, the office of Sovereign and Lordship. Jesus must be Lord. He must be Lord of our lives. He must be the Lord in our life. And to walk worthy, a Christian must walk in complete submission to Jesus Christ as Master and Lord. Remember how he said to his disciples, "Ye call me Master and Lord." You do well. For so it is, and so I am. And so that's the second thing. It's one of submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If He's not Lord of your life, you can't possibly be walking worthy. If there are other lords ruling over you, you can't be walking a life pleasing unto God. And so it follows from that then that it must be a life of obedience. Obedience to His commands. When bringing in the word Lord here causes you to think of His Lordship. How's Lordship manifested? It's manifested in authority, in commands, in giving direction, in manifesting His will for His servants to do. The worthy life is the life of doing the Lord's will. And so walking worthy of the Lord is just doing what the Lord wants. Every Christian has to have this in his mind. He has to be persuaded and convinced of this truth, that a worthy life has this most basic element in it. I must obey the Lord Jesus in everything, in all things. Trust and obey. It is put sometimes that way, for there is no other way. There can be no departure from this principle. If you're going to walk worthy of the Lord, you're going to have to obey the Lord. You're going to have to do His will. That's the key to a God-honoring life, to a useful life of obedience to God's Word. Lot, the nephew of Abraham, was a saved man. He had many good points in his life. Peter points some of them out. He was grieved by the ungodliness of the age. But his was a fairly vain and empty life. He lost out with God. He dishonored God. You know the story, how it all ended? There's a blot on his life. It wasn't a worthy life, really, sadly. And the problem was his obedience. Abraham obeyed God. His nephew Lot did not. And so it was not a life of worthiness because he disobeyed. Remember Saul, King Saul. He wanted to be a worthy king. He wanted to be a king who honored God. He started off well. It all looked so good for King Saul. But he jettisoned this essential ingredient, obedience to the Lord. And Samuel himself told him, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Behold, to obey, he says, is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And that's where his whole story went wrong. Even though he started off well, he had good motives, good intentions, good desires, but because he left the principle of obedience, it was a downhill path thereafter. It wasn't a valuable life. It wasn't a worthy life at all. It wasn't a life that brought glory to God. Why? Because to obey is better than sacrifice. Whatever sacrifices are made, they're all in vain. Unless you're obeying God. And so walking worthy is obeying the Lord. Worldly wisdom might think there are better ways and different ways to live a worthy life. But the only way is the path of obedience to the Lord. Remember God said to the people of Israel, "If ye will obey my voice, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." You'll be valuable. You'll have valuable lives. And the simple key is, to obey my voice. And that's how we walk worthy of the Lord, just to obey His voice in His Word. And so it must be a life of daily, consciously, and conscientiously setting the pattern and example of the Lord Jesus Christ before us, as well as His commands, as well as hearing His commands of the Lord and unto the Lord, will mean setting Him before us as our example, as a pattern. Walking in His steps. Walking as He walked. Following the Lord. This is included in this walking worthy of the Lord. Remember the psalmist said, "I have set the Lord always before me." He wants to live a worthy life. He wants to live a life that pleases God. What does he do? He says, "I have to set the Lord before me. I have to be conscious of Him all the time. Every step I take, every decision I make, every reaction and every response to every situation, I have to have the Lord before me. I have to be conscious of His leading and His presence." The Christian has to do this.
Not just to be conscious that the Lord is watching us. That's not what he means. Well, he does. He includes that, of course. He's watching what I do. But he's having in mind the idea of to follow him. He's the one who's leading. And to imitate him. Was not the life of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, the most worthy life that ever was lived? It was. He glorified his Father in all things. He did always those things that pleased his Father. His was no vain life. He didn't live in vain. He didn't die in vain. It was the most worthy life that was ever lived. It was the most fruitful life that was ever possessed. His fruit was the fruit most excellent. His fruit was the fruit 100-fold and beyond. What a life. What a death. What a walk. And clearly the Christian should want to pattern his life after that. After the walk and example of Jesus Christ. To walk as he walked. John said that, didn't he? He that says he abides in Christ. He that says he has union to the Savior. He ought to walk as he walked. Remember Jesus himself said, I've given you an example. That you should do as I have done to you. An example. What did he do in that example? He got down with the water bowl and he washed his disciples' feet. That's the pattern. Christ suffered for us, Peter says, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. You study the steps of Jesus. Follow the steps of Jesus. That's included in this, walk worthy unto the Lord. It will mean adopting his very attitude. His very attitude to his purpose on earth, which was one of humble service. It wasn't one of promotion, self-promotion. It wasn't one of ambition. It wasn't one of striving for the better positions. It was one of humble resignation to his Father's will. Whatever path his Father opened, whatever cross his Father led on his way, to bear that cross and to walk in those steps in a way worthy of his Father. A way of selfless sacrifice. And we have to adopt that very attitude. What did Paul say? Let this mind be in you. That's walking worthy of the Lord. If his very mind, his very attitude, we imbibe it. It becomes part of us. Not an arrogance, not a pride, not a self-righteousness, not a lording it over others, but a humility. A very attitude. Though he was God, and though he, as it were, had the very form of God, yet he took upon him the form of a servant. And so Paul says, let that mind be in you. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. To get yourself a name. To get yourself talked about. Don't do anything for that reason. But in lowliness of mind. Esteem everybody better than yourself. Let that mind be in you. So it must be, that's what it means to be of the Lord. But then secondly, it must be unto all pleasing. That's interesting. It must be an all pleasing life if it is to be a worthy life. Now we have to ask this expression, all pleasing. We have to ask, all pleasing to whom? The commentators have debated this. And most commentators say the Lord. And that's true. That's included. Walk a life of worthiness of the Lord unto all pleasing. Pleasing the Lord. And such a life will indeed please the Lord. And we have to emphasize that. A worthy life and walking worthily will please the Lord. So if you want to live a life of value and a life of worthiness, then please the Lord. Bring Him pleasure. Bring Him delight. Let Him be one who rejoices in your ways. And so Paul is definitely including that. And he often emphasizes that in his epistles. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. All pleasing pleases the Lord. And I have to say, children, you want to please the Lord? You want to walk a life, even though you're just a little child, you want to walk a life of worthiness to please the Lord? Then obey your parents. Just listen to your mom and dad. That pleases the Lord. That's a life of all pleasing. And you remember how he said to the Thessalonians, that we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received how you ought to walk, and to please God. We've taught you. We've showed you from house to house. We've taught you week after week how you should walk worthily and please God. He's always bringing this in. He doesn't just say walk worthy. He says and please. Please God. Please the Lord. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Please the Lord. Remember how Hebrews 13 verse 16 says, to do good and to communicate, don't forget. Because with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So if you walk worthy of the Lord, you will please the Lord. This is a good thing. This is something worth striving for. To be a God pleaser. To put it another way, in all your actions, in all your going around, in all of our movements, in our walking, we should ask ourselves all the time, is this pleasing to the Lord? Is this bringing Him delight and pleasure? So yes, the Lord is the object of this pleasure. But it has to be pointed out. The Lord is not specified as the object of it. Some of the modern versions write, walk worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Oh, the modern versions, they like liberties. Some of them, in many places, they're not actual accurate translations. And that is such an inaccurate translation. Paul didn't say that. Paul deliberately leaves the Lord's name out of that aspect of the object unto all pleasing. He has the Lord in mind. But if he only had the Lord in mind, he would have said that and please Him. But he doesn't say that. He says all pleasing. He's going beyond even pleasing the Lord. I think it is because a worthy walk pleases the Lord, but it also pleases others as well. It pleases God, but it also pleases the believer himself. It's a delight to the Christian when he is walking worthy. It gives him a sense of pleasure, a sense of satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment. Now, the Christian knows he's not perfect, of course. And he still comes far short. And he'll always be quick to confess, I am a most unprofitable servant. And he's never satisfied with himself in very many respects. But to follow the Lord is a pleasant thing. It's a pleasing thing. And that Christian feels that. Whenever you follow the Lord, you'll be pleasing yourself if you're a Christian.
You'll feel good obeying God. You'll feel a peace, a sweetness, an unspeakable pleasure that you're following the Lord. And so Paul's including not all pleasing. Pleases God, but it'll please you as well. He includes that. Following the Lord is a way of pleasantness, the Bible says. His paths are paths of peace. His commandments are not grievous. They're pleasing. They're pleasant. They're pleasurable. Isn't it just delightful to believe God and to pray and to be devoted to Him and to be involved in devotions? Isn't it delightful to have devotion to God? Isn't it delightful to have a quiet time? Isn't it delightful just to be reading and praying with the family? Isn't it a way of pleasantness? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. But also a worthy walk will also please the saints, other saints, fellow saints. Doesn't it rejoice you when you see a man going on with God? Whenever you see a man walking a life of worthiness, doesn't it please you? Don't you delight to see people coming out to the meetings? Don't you delight to see people not only being converted, but being changed and transformed and hearing them pray now? Doesn't it please us? Isn't it an all-pleasing life when there's a man going on with God? Doesn't it revive the saints when we see our brother himself revived and going on with the Lord? That's an all-pleasing life when it's encouraging the saints. Whenever you see people reading their Bible more and loving the meetings more and getting out to their prayer meeting more, doesn't it cause us pleasure? This is what Paul means, all pleasing. It will also please the unconverted in many cases. Saints should endeavor to live a life that pleases his fellow man, whether he's a Christian or not. We should try to endeavor to please even sinners. Now, this, of course, must be consistent with pleasing God. Whenever we say that Christians are not man-pleasers, we mean they don't please men at God's expense. That's what we mean. You shouldn't go out of your way to displease a man just for the sake of it. Just to rattle a sinner because you like to rattle a sinner. That's not the way to live. We please the Lord. And as far as is consistent with that, we endeavor to please men. All men. As you have opportunity, Paul says, do good unto all men. See that none render evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And whenever you do good to the sinner, he'll recognize it. And it'll please him. It might even win him to Jesus Christ. It might. Jesus said, love your enemies and do good. Remember how Paul says to the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. He said, I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Even as I please all men, he even uses the word, he even says it, I please all men in all things. He tried to live that life of all pleasing, even to his fellow sinners. I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And so as far as is consistent with the law of God and with the will of God,
pleasing Him primarily. But we're as consistent with that. Pleasing all men. Winning them. Behaving towards them in such a way as delights them. And they see something of the Lord in you. You don't win men by going out of your way to offend them. It will include abundance of good works. That's the third thing. Very quickly. This is a worthy life, a well-lived life that is always working good. Good works. Jesus' life was full of this. Many good works have I showed you. Some of those good works the people didn't like, of course. And they even stoned Him for His good works. Well, they didn't really stone Him for His good works. They stoned Him because, you know, He did it in a way on the Sabbath day, for example. Or because He got the crowds by His good works and they were jealous and envious. So it wasn't so much for the good works that were offending them, but the timing of them or the popularity of them. It was other things, but a good work pleases all men, generally speaking. And Jesus says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, fruitful in every good work. That's what I'm praying. You remember Tabitha? What was that woman recognized for? She was full of good works. She was just a humble woman, just labored in the house, just did a bit of sewing or whatever. But she was full of good works. What a worthy life. What a valuable life. What a God-pleasing life. Fruitful in every good work. The Christian is to be rich in good works, Paul said. And then lastly, it will also include getting to know the Lord more. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Getting to know the Lord more. Spending time with Him. Spending time in the Word. Spending time at the throne of grace. That's all involved in it. It's not just all works. It's not just all out there, as it were. No, it's getting to know the Lord. Being acquainted with Him. Being familiar with your Savior. This devotional side. This worship side. This quiet, personal side. All of this is involved in a God-honoring life. And that's the kind of Christian Paul wanted the Colossians to be. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ cause us more and more to be such.